was she picked up, Dominique?
She physically picked up, or why was she arrested?
Arrested.
So what she is being charged with is assault on a peace officer. So the version of the story that the federal agent is putting forth is that Andrea Velez purposefully walked into his path in order to protect whoever their target was and knocked that ICE agent off balance and hit him in the head. It's a complete fabrication. Didn't happen. And I believe it's more of number one, racial profiling. They were speaking to her in Spanish, even though she was demonstrating that she was could speak fluent English and that she was a U.S. citizen. And I think it was a matter of, let's see if she is a U.S. citizen. And if she is, then we'll slap on these charges. It's an issue of arrest now, ask questions later.
So straight up racial profiling?
100%. 100%. Andrea Velez has, she's a darker skinned Latino, and 100% I believe that this was racial profiling.
We have to leave it there. We'll continue to follow this case. Dominique Bubion, one of the attorneys hoping to represent Andrea Velez, a U.S. citizen arrested by ICE. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. You are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. I'm Dinah Jansen. We've got a very fun, special broadcast for you today featuring a conversation with and excellent music by Ray Spoon, who is coming to town to join fellow trans musicians Jeffrey and Kieran Labbe at Musiki on July 5th at 8 p.m., an opportunity brought to the community through a great partnership between Ray's label, Coax Records, Skeleton Park Arts Festival, and Trans Family Kingston. We'll hear more about this exciting local concert shortly, but let's dive in now to a great chat with Ray Spoon. Ray, welcome to CFRC. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So excited to have you here. Thank you so much for taking the time in the midst of your mini tour. Where are you right now?
I'm in Montreal right now, so I'm in one of the places I live, so at least it's a little bit of a rest, and I'm driving to Toronto, another place I live part-time today. So
you're driving all over the place on this on this holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a couple of dates, too. There's another one you've got in Ottawa in the coming days at House of Targ, right?
Yeah, it's a pinball bar. It's awesome.
Amazing. All right. So, Ray, before we take some deep dives into our conversation, I'd love to be able to chat with you a little bit more about your music overall to give our listeners a bit of a sense about you. CFRC has played your music from your very extensive catalog for years, but you might be new to some of our listeners. I wonder if you can give us a snapshot into the trajectory of your past musical works across years and genres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I grew up on Treaty 7 territory in Calgary, Alberta. So yeah, I grew up in a Pentecostal family. So I started music at the church. Was kind of forced to sing, which is awesome because then I learned how. And I quickly started writing songs when I was about... I played guitar when I was 11, maybe writing songs when I was 12. And yeah, that was always my plan. So when I graduated high school, I started playing shows in Calgary. And then I moved a year later to Vancouver. And when I was kind of doing more like folk. And then when I moved to Vancouver, I realized I was from Calgary and kind of started to miss the country music thing. So I started playing more country. That was around the year 2000 and 2001. And then around then I came out as trans. And yeah, and kind of like did the country thing as a trans person for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years-ish. No, it was around 2008. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of, I just wanted to try some other stuff out. I was living in Germany for a couple of years, so started learning more about electronic music, and I was learning about pop. I lived in Montreal after that. So kind of just like work my way through genres. I love songwriting, so I love a song that could maybe be played in almost any genre. That's kind of a cool thing to me. So I kind of just took the songwriting through all these moves, and then, yeah, and now... I kind of felt like a time that it'd be fun to make some more country music again. So I'm kind of back doing a little bit of that, combined with pop, and kind of hoping to make more experimental country music and and see how that goes.
And I can't wait to talk more about your work in country music specifically. Before getting into that, especially too, you've released a new single that we'll talk about very shortly too, covering Garth Brooks's huge country anthem, Friends in Low Places. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But Ray, I also understand you're a published author.
Yes, I am.
So tell us about your literary work.
I kind of came into writing accidentally, which sounds strange, but my friend was making a feature film about me through the NFB. It was called My Prairie Home, and that came out in 2014. It was a musical documentary about my childhood, like documentary with musical numbers about growing up in Alberta. I just found like my past to be a bit it was better to have it more structured, like what I was sharing, just because there was like a lot, it was pretty complex, and there was some like a lot of unsafe things I kind of had to like revisit, and I wanted to interpret it in a way that was accessible and, you know, made sense for people who are like watching. So I ended up writing a book called First Spring Grass Fire, which is a book of short stories that came out in 2012 on Arsenal Pulp Press about growing up in Alberta. And so it kind of helped me retell my, you know, story to myself. And then in 2014, parts of that book actually end up in this book, but a book called Gender Failure I did with Ivan Coyote that was just about how the gender binary was like, all, you know, sexism in the gender binary was ultimately failing everyone. So that was like a cool angle around then. Just kind of a year or two after I came out, I was using they pronouns, And then I wrote a novel that came out in 2021 called Green Glass Ghosts, and that it's a fiction, but it's based on someone who's 19 who moves to Vancouver and plays music and is from Calgary. So it's kind of close to home. And it's just a book about becoming an adult in a new place after you leave difficult things and how you carry them with you. And so I kind of retold that story to, and my friend Jem Hall did illustrations in the book, and that also came out on Arsenal. So that's the three books I publish. And right now I'm working on a new book that will come out in fall 2026. It's also on Arsenal Pulp Press. And that book is going to be called Cancer Person. And it kind of chronicles this 4 to 5 year. Everyone's on a health journey, but since I was diagnosed with like cancer in 2020 and that treatment, and I had a lot of complications and I ended up living in the hospital for a year and 2 months at some point, and just like complex health stuff and just how the medical system is just, you know, there is like the kind of broader openness, maybe more for trans or non-binary folks, but once you get into institutions, you know, it was woefully not prepared, underprepared for a trans person to have cancer, let alone one that is usually quite gendered, the one I had. So I thought I would write a book about that because I actually couldn't find a lot of books from not trans non-binary people about cancer. And I mean, part of that is because, you know, it's like a newer thing for trans non-binary people to be out. There's always been non-binary trans people. And then also cancer, it's like usually older person. There's definitely young adults who get cancer, but around 50 is when most people, you know. So like I was young-ish to get it, but I just thought it would be good to write this book. I took notes the whole time and I found them. So I wouldn't be able to retell the story if I hadn't done that. But yeah, so basically that's going to come out in the fall of next year. So. And again, retelling my story to myself, you know, it's very helpful for me. So, and then I get a lot of stories back, which is like my favorite part about writing books.
Thank you for sharing that. And we'll definitely want to follow up with you when that book comes out too. So let's be in touch. But I'm glad that you brought this up too, that yes, back in 2020, you were very public about your cervical cancer diagnosis and some of the circumstances that you were facing as a trans person going through your treatment. I want to know, how are you doing? And two, we wanted to know where it's going from here, because you also did release that album, Not Dead Yet, as a follow-up to your experience through that. Can you tell us a little bit more about that album, actually?
I wrote that album even kind of still in the middle, like, you know, health is complicated for anyone who has cancer treatments of any kind. Like, there's side effects and those, like, I think everyone... what I realize is health is not a binary either. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like healthy, sick binary, or that everybody, you know, has their, even like a galaxy, not a spectrum, just everyone is in their own spot with their health. And like, we're all our own best experts on that. Mm-hmm. So, I wrote Not Dead Yet really quite in the middle of all of that. And I don't know. I mean, there was many times where I wasn't sure how long I was good to live. Like many times I ended up in ICU. And it was like, you know, so I kind of was just like, I wanted to make this record, and I sang about those experiences. And again, that like really helped me deal with like what had happened and that more emotional side of it. And yeah. And since then, it's like, I often meet people who are like, oh, I listened to that, like when I was doing my cancer treatment, or like, it's really cool. Cause I get stories back from other people about how it affected their lives too. So it's really cool. I mean, currently I have complicated health, but I'm stabilized ish right now. So that's good. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And yes, we will want to touch base with you when this new book comes out as mm-hmm. well. All right. So we've got some hot news from you. Otherwise, because you've got a cover of the Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places, which is a huge anthem for anybody who's a country music fan. But a lot of people who don't necessarily know or listen to country music know what that song is. I'd love to hear from you now, Ray. What is it about this song that inspired you to reimagine the country classic through the distinct legs you've captured? Tell us a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Low Places was kind of a family song. You know, it came out in the late 80s, 89. You know, so as I was a kid, it was just a song people would randomly burst into at my grandma's house, like my uncle's. And so it was just a song that I was thinking about coming back to country. I was trying to think of a song that, yeah, to just kind of show, to try out as a cover. And it just, when I, you know, everything that's going on right now with like trans rights, not already for people's rights, and a lot of folks being kind of disenfranchised by the global fascism situation, which is very unfortunate. I kind of, you know, I think I liked to visit the idea of everyone in low places being friends with each other. And so in sort of a reclamation, and I also was very amused by putting that out as a Pride Month cover, because yeah, it doesn't feel, you know, I think a lot of people don't think that being trans and country music can go together, but I think country music, a lot of people love, it doesn't need to be oppressive. And I know a lot of people who aren't, you know, like a lot of people want to enjoy that kind of music without, you know, the oppression part of it, you know? So I'm not saying mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, I know that I have certain privileges and stuff like that, but yeah, I just thought it would be a cool way to just kind of reintroduce myself. Of course, like people are, you know, lots of people don't know who a person is, and it's fun because you get to reintroduce yourself kind of every time you release something. So, yeah, so that came out a few weeks ago, and I went to Alberta and played. You know, it's been really cool. I produced it in Montreal with Lori Torres, who is a producer who plays music here, and with a bunch of trans non-binary, you know, queer musicians in Montreal. So it was pretty awesome.
Amazing. And now, Ray, the photos in your press kit show you wearing a lot of lavender for the promotion of Friends in Low Places, your cover of the Garth Brooks anthem there. And we see that it's a deliberate nod to the queer country pioneer Patrick Haggerty of the openly queer country band Lavender Country, who I didn't know this until the press release, who released their debut album way back in 1973. I'd love to hear mm-hmm. more about channeling the legacy of Lavender Country and Patrick Haggerty in particular in your current work. Why are you going back to 1973 with the promotion of a song that came out in the 90s?
I think with country music, like something I'm always trying to keep in mind, especially any kind of pop music, is like its roots are in like African-American culture and indigenous culture. So like, firstly, that's like something I love to acknowledge about country music, is that's the origins of it. And many people collaborating along the way, but to like honor that as like, you know, as that's what it is. But also, I mean, Patrick Haggerty, I heard of him I played a show with him actually in Seattle.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, I did in like 2015 or something. And he passed away a few years ago. He was in his 80s, or maybe it was longer than a few years. But yeah, he was always called Lavender Country. I was over Lavender. So, I mean, I think that, you know, sometimes every time, this whole idea of someone being the first trans person or the first country or the first, like no one's ever the first of something, right? And I think if someone thinks someone is the first of something, then we're being cut off. We're our stories are being erased. It doesn't mean that there isn't a story, you know? So I thought it was important to reference him because in these photos, which were actually done by Wynne Neely, who's an incredible photographer who lives in Toronto. And so it was really great to work with Wynne and kind of realize this vision with the lavender background. So, yeah, and I've been wearing a lot of lavender this year just to kind of like give an homage to Patrick Haggerty and Lavender Country, you know, and people who... It's just great to have people to look to, and also I think it's great to kind of be able for people to find me, to look to me, and I can look to other, you know, like it's an incredible thing for us to all have elders and ancestors and people coming after us and be connected. So that was kind of the goal of it, is to give a nod to Patrick. You know, what he did was incredible, and it's cool that people are. Even more people are learning about him.
Thank you so much for sharing that. When I was reading this in the press kit too, I'm like, oh, I hadn't heard of this band. Country music is outside of my area of expertise or listening pleasure on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. When I grew up, I actually spent a lot of time listening to punk and heavy metal. So for the heavy metal genre, when Judas Priest front person Rob Halford came out as gay, it was a thing. And this is still in a time where, you know, folks are still being informed about how to think about queerness by, you know, popular culture like Three's Company or silly, you know, jokes on Friends because two guys are hugging and stuff like that. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
But this is an indicator here that, okay, so Rob Halford was gay, but he was always gay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So,
but Patrick Haggerty was openly queer, but always was queer, right?
Yeah, and Carol Pope had the High School Confidential that hit the year I was born, and she's a friend of mine. And, you know, it's really incredible to get to meet these people. Or not meet them and just know of their work, you know? So I think that stuff, whether it's like in the genre, I love hearing about that stuff. It's really, really cool.
But what are your thoughts here when we're talking about Patrick Haggerty, Rob Halford, and other musicians who are queer? What are your thoughts in terms of the genres they may actually be playing in? Like when, again, I'm hearkening my heavy metal roots where, it's very brosy, very dude.
It's interesting,
very dude,
yeah.
But also...
But the metal and the biker scenes actually took their fashion from gay scenes. Like, that's where the leather comes from, right? Like, which is really interesting. Like, I went to the leather archive in Chicago. You know, so it's interesting how it's all linked. And you remember how, like, feminine metal outfits were for men, right? Like, it's so interesting. That's so bro-y. Very, very interesting combo. But, like, definitely taking stuff from drag scenes and gay scenes. You know, like... I'm sure a lot of that fashion would be traced back, right? So it's really interesting. And it kind of usually gets recycled then as a straight person doing it, right? Of something that is culturally something else, you know? But we see that over and over where there's like someone does something and then someone who's more socially acceptable does it. And, you know, it's now art or something.
Yeah, well, no, if you think back to like the 80s with hair metal bands where there's certainly a lot of drag going on there. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But how has that sort of transpired in the country music scene? Because again, we're talking specifically about Patrick Haggerty and Lavender Country in 1973. The country music scene.
I mean, that was huge, right? Seattle, that's where he was, so he released in Seattle. I don't know. I think from as far as I can tell from anybody I know, like, you know, as far as we know, this is what it is, the first person I kind of know of in this round before we were erased or something. But recently there have been like a lot of really great non-binary and trans folks, like Maya Byrne is a trans country singer of States, Clyde Peterson, who's in a band called Your Heartbreaks, is really awesome. Paisley Fields is, I think, queer, maybe non-binary. There's many people now kind of like moving into that space in the left, and always were trans, but like, and many of them have been playing music as long as me, and some of them have been like coming around. So it's been interesting. Like for me, the moment with country where I felt like maybe more space was going to happen, it was actually Lil Nas X's hit, where I was like, oh, like you found your way in there, right? Like the Old Town Road hit. For me, that was like, oh, And then a friend of mine, Allison Russell, lives in Nashville now. She's won a couple Grammys. She's queer. You know, like Maya Byrne, who I was just discussing, was in the Rolling Stone with a review of her album. She's trans. And so, and like Kacey Musgraves is, I don't know, think she's queer, but she's a huge fan of her, but she's very like queer positive. And then, yeah, Maren Moore came out as bisexual. So there's actually an out bisexual, like new country person. And then there's, I think, the lead singer of Osborne. I'm trying to remember this other band. Anyway, there's like a bunch of folks, right? So it's like leaning that way, but I think it's slow. Like the coming, it's almost like how many out ice hockey players, like in the NHL, not in the women's hockey league. Okay. Professional hockey league, that would be a different question. But, you know, like I think there's like, it's spots where it's happening slower, right? Like, if that makes sense. And country's definitely one of those areas where I think it's like traditionally being run in a way, but also it's traditionally being something that was like reserved for white people and these other kind of unnatural boundaries that have been put on country music, which I think are also worth exploring, how to decentralize, you know, and decentralize from Nashville and decentralize from whiteness. And how do we do that? And how do we exist in like a colonial, imperial colonialism culture, and then also how do we try to decentralize that, you know? So for me, it's like a lot of questions of how do we make space in like what's existing, but ultimately I think there's something very working class about country music, and the people I know who connect to it often come from working class backgrounds, whatever other identifiers are going on for them. So
thank you so much for that, and great segue into our next topic of conversation here. So, Ray, so years ago you were featured in Shanna Golden Pershback's scholarly new literary history article entitled Trans America, Gender, Genre, and Journey, where you mm-hmm. talked about your own experience of becoming a transgender country singer. You mentioned that, quote, for some, it's easier to become transgender from the start and then work toward becoming a singer. And for others, it's better to play music first and then come out as transgender, end quote. So, Ray, that article came out 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I feel like the key word in there is becoming.
Yes.
So with that in mind, I wonder what your thoughts are now on the evolution of the country music scene and the stronger presence mm-hmm. of trans and non-binary musicians creating and performing in the genre as trans and non-binary country artists.
Well, that quote is actually from, there's a booklet that I wrote. It's a humorous booklet. It's supposed to be a how-to instruction manual. Mine was called How to Hide Behind Your Songs. So that was actually a joke. Okay, that I said okay. that I was joking. So, and then I guess if it gets, I'm like, oh, that's funny. So it's quoted in the book. Yes, that was a funny way I thought to start, but I don't actually. The becoming part, obviously, that's it's very tongue in cheek, right? So, yeah, I think people, we are what we are, and we get to like just if we can change the name for what we are and we want to, why not? You know, like there can be this fluidity in becoming. So now. I mean, I stand behind that joke. I do wonder about when I write a joke manual and it gets quoted in an academic paper. If people know I'm joking, my dry humor has come to get me. Sometimes I make a joke on stage and I don't smile and people don't know that I'm joking, which I think is really funny, but there you go. So, but yeah, anyway, I'm going to actually put that booklet up on a PDF. And the rule for writing that how-to booklet was actually that people aren't supposed to learn anything from it. That was supposed to be the joke. So I love humorous writing. But yeah, so now I would still make that joke. But I think I also make jokes that I'm detransitioning to country music. I make some pretty edgy jokes about being trans because I think they're funny and I think I'm allowed. But ultimately, I respect that people are who they are. And yeah, anytime I'm happy, like if people want to change things, great. You know, I think kids growing up, they just need to see lots of options. You can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can do that, and they can do what they want, right? Like that's what I hope for, is like a kind of openness now. And, you know, I mean, I like, it's not like things are always getting better in every way. Like obviously now that's like, there's some backlash about trans rights happening, things like that. And then there's a lot of folks who have come out as trans or maybe have become adults in a time when those rights sometimes more existed, and it's very scary to have them rescinded or threatened. But, you know, I guess that's why folks, you know, I've been around from before that. And so there's ways that people have always survived, right? And there's always been groups of people who have had to survive this kind of thing. And it sucks. We shouldn't have to, but we did it before and we'll do it again, you know? And the thing is, like, there's nothing anyone can do to stop trans people from existing. Like, they just keep making us. So, interestingly enough, evangelical Christians make a lot of trans people because they make a lot of children. They're going to make... So we don't even have to do it ourselves. But, you know, so I really think that I wish for like a more open time. I don't want everyone to have to lose their whole family. Like, why should people lose where they're from and lose their family, you know, because of who they are, right? And I'm hoping that that's not something people have to do. So if there's any way to make that easier, I think we're all just trying to make it a little bit easier for the people who come after us, like people did for us, right?
Thank you so much for that. And I wonder too, speaking of your own experience as coming out as a trans non-binary country singer, do you actually have songs in your back catalog that also speak to the experience?
Let me think. I don't have any. When I was first writing country, I was actually still going by he, because I didn't know I could go by they, you know, in my journey. So in the back catalog of country, not necessarily. I did have some atheist gospel music, which I was pretty proud of. And I would play like on people's farms. Like I would play it. It was like pretty funny. But yeah, I have a song called Do Whatever the Heck You Want, which kind of goes along with everything I was just saying. And that's just, you ask questions like, what should I do? And then everyone says, do whatever the heck you want.
Or with all this in mind too, what are your thoughts, Ray, on the changing environment for trans and binary artists hoping to tour in the United States? As you are likely aware, this spring, the Montreal-based Earshot chart-topping artist, Bells Larson, who is trans, talked with CBC's Elamine Abdelmahmoud on Commotion about having to cancel their tour dates in the U.S. for their sophomore album, Blurring Time, which is out now and charting away now. They're a very hot artist in Canada right now.
Yeah.
But also, Larson noted that most of their listeners are actually in the U.S. So where are you at when it comes to not only visiting south of the border these days, but also touring as a professional musician on a work visa in the United States?
Well, I'm not going there. and a lot of my friends aren't, you know. And some people do. I think... a lot of folks I know aren't as like out about being non-binary or trans as I have been. So I just know for a fact that my books are the kind that were the first to be burned, you know, in Germany when they took down the like the Institute for Sexuality there in Berlin. You know, this is the playbook of fascism. So I just know that I shouldn't go there personally because that's, but I also think there's many people who are much more in harm's way because I have a Canadian passport, right? So what I'm really worried about with this, all of this stuff is actually, I'm worried about the people who are dying right now from it, not from people who are like losing your livelihood is one thing, but losing your life is another thing. And so whenever we see this harm coming all the way to white trans people, trans mask people, we know it's already come to so many people who have less privilege. And that's what I am extremely concerned about. And that's always, you know, in trans communities, who is the most vulnerable is the most marginalized folks. So I think all of us need to be focusing on supporting people, you know, and supporting people who are living through genocides because there's trans people there too, you know. So that, the, you know, there's trans people everywhere. So all of these things, they're linked to me, if that makes sense, of what's going on right now. So, but yeah, I don't go to the States. A lot of my friends, we won't go there. I'm sad because I have friends there. It's not like there's one America, you know, it's like if someone said they knew everything about Canada from 10 people, right? So like we are now being separated. Trans people are being separated unnaturally by a border, but borders have always been unnaturally separating people. Mm-hmm. So if white, you know, it sucks, but it reminds me to, you know, find the other people in the low places and work on solidarity instead, you know? So, yeah.
Are you encountering other issues in even other countries when if you want to be able to go somewhere where whatever gender is on your passport is actually impacting how you get into a country? This is becoming a serious concern for trans and non-binary people, period, whether they're musicians or not, right?
Yes, everyone. So it's impacting everyone. It is impacting the work visas, but it's impacting, you know, there's so many things happening right now that are impacting so many people. There's so many laws being passed in Canada that are impacting trans people. There was a law, I think, just passed in Quebec saying trans people who are serve prison time in Quebec have to go to where their assigned sex was unless they've had low bottom surgery. And this is not good. This just passed in Quebec. So I think also paying attention to what's happening closer is important too, because a lot of things are happening right now. But yeah, no, it's impacting it. I wouldn't be surprised if some people were changing their passport back from an X to something, you know, but yeah. I don't know. It's a funny thing because it's like you were assigned something at birth and there's all these like things. They don't really make sense. You know, it's kind of, it doesn't make any sense to me. But I think it is still, yeah, it's going to be like such an immigration issue, right? So what's happening to refugees is what I'm wondering, you know, and everyone else. So.
Yeah, but also just being able to work in the U.S., I don't know what the size of your fan base in the U.S., but I assume it's fairly extensive, too. What are your thoughts on not being able to go and visit and perform for those people in person?
I'm in good company. You know, I was actually disinvited from a university in Alberta recently because I'm trans. My books are probably getting banned in Alberta right now from going into, like, you know, they're making a list of books that can't go into like schools for underage, you know, folks. So, but I also, in some ways, I'm like, I mean, anyone else who's also not able to speak at a university at this point, like there's a lot of us, you know? So I guess I didn't really focus on America personally as like a place that I was trying to grow. Mm-hmm. I actually always went to Europe. So just because it felt like there was a bit more space there and at that point and I'm privileged enough I can get in, and like, so I've worked a lot in Germany and Austria and like all over Europe, actually in the UK. So I don't know, we'll see. I was supposed to play tour dates in the UK this year, but I didn't want to go when things were so unstable in North America with my health, because I don't want to get, if my health starts, I need something I want to be near where I can get healthcare. So for me it's like there's a bunch of things at play, but yeah, like I said, I've not even really thinking about myself going to America. I'm thinking about refugees. I'm thinking about people who are dying. I don't care. It's fine for me. I'm still surviving, you know, like I still have a passport to a country and I have healthcare and I have a lot of things. I'm just really, really concerned about the trans people that are really getting hit more and more and more, you know?
Okay. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us, too. And I'm wondering, too, you did mention just now, like, books being banned in Alberta. So this is news to me, and this seems, one, non-inclusive, but also very unsafe. Are you encountering, in places in Canada, areas where you are feeling excluded and unsafe simply because of who you are as a trans, non-binary musician?
I mean, I came out in the year 2000, so I don't know when I was supposed to have felt safe. There was never a period, so I don't think it's ever been like that. And that's okay, I think. And that's not okay, but I think it does keep me wanting to like work towards that, right? So right now, I think it's more about us finding each other and keeping each other going more than having like a general broad acceptance. And, you know, I always, if anyone ever asks me like how, I've had kids come up to me and say, how do I get through till I'm an adult? And I just say, try to be around as many people as you can who believe you, who you are. Like if you can 50% of the time be around people who call you the pronoun you want, like for me, it's like 50% of the time, then I can survive. So that's my advice, is find people who believe you for who you are, and then you could weather the rest of it. And I think there's going to be, you know, a lot to weather, and that's not fair. But yeah, but people are, we're strong, we're resilient, and we're going to take care of each other.
Awesome. And yeah, following up on that, do you have other advice for young, emerging trans and non-binary artists breaking out in the music scene?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say what I say to everyone is like, find your own path to success. You know, right now there's a lot of like, build your team, be like, you know, do these things. And I think right now, and the money, the revenue streams have really dried up in the music industry in some way. So I think it's a lot of people are paying to play when you see them play. So I'm like, if you're going to be paying to play, make sure you're doing things you want to do, you know? And I think there's so many different paths. Every person's art has its own path. So you can be inspired by other people, but like your own path is the only one that's going to work for you. I really believe in grassroots organizing, like community and college radio, right? Like if someone ever asks me, I say, go to your college radio station in town and volunteer. If you want to get into the music scene and play music, go watch other people play, build community, and they'll support you too. And that's my advice. If they're in Kingston, I'd be like, go down, you know, go volunteer, go that. And see, you yourself have been there for 20 years, right? So I think some of the strongest supporters of independent music are always at the, at like college and community radio stations. That's actually one of the things I always say to people. So yeah, that and just, you know, music is to connect to other people. That's what art is. It's not about like, you know, numbers, I guess, are great in some way, you know, streams, and that is connection. But yeah, finding how you want, like, I think most people originally started making music or art because they wanted to connect. So just keeping that in mind, you know, and having that be the center of a practice and building community is what I would say.
Amazing. Thanks so much. And thanks for the plug for campus and community radio stations like CFRC. Yay. So thank you again for these very wonderful insights. We've had some really good deep dives into some pretty important issues here and learning a lot more about you as an artist too, Ray. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
But we are almost out of time. Mm-hmm. And I want listeners first to learn a little bit more about the upcoming gig that you have at Musiki in Kingston on July 5th. I wonder if you can tell us more about what to expect with your show with Jeffrey and Kieran Labbe.
Yeah, I'm going to come and play solo. I'm going to play some of my new music and some of my older music. And yeah, it's going to be, it's usually really conversational when I'm solo. And I think it's going to be like just a nice, I'm excited to hear Kieran and Greg play. Yeah, so it's a way to hang out. It's also, yeah, like it's also co-presented by, yeah, is it Trans Family Kingston?
Yes.
And so, like, I don't know. I think even if it's just to hang out and be around some folks and just have, like, a chill time for a second, that's, like, a good motivation. So I think it's free. I'm pretty sure it's free. I don't know if it's free. Maybe it's not free. I don't know.
free and by donation. As
free and by donation. It's going to be outdoors. So anyone who's, like, masking, you can come and mask outside. And the access info is on the Instagram. I'll link, like, that's on my page. So, and you can also just find me if you have any access questions too. I'm always happy to ask and figure it out with people.
And now, before we close too, do you have any new albums in the works and what's coming up for you otherwise this summer?
Yeah. What am I doing this summer? I guess I'm just finishing an album now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So
oh my God.
Next
yes.
year, there's going to be an album coming out. It's called Hyper Country. So that's, I'll be playing a little bit off of that. And, yeah. And that comes out hopefully in February. And that's going to be like a full country music album, you know, featuring many songs that are very non-binary trans themed.
Will you come back on CFRC and we can play the whole album and do an interview with you?
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I'm hoping to bring my band and stuff too. So I'm hoping to tour with my band and just be around. So hopefully I'll do that. That'd be awesome.
Okay. We'll be in touch because maybe you can also do a live session with us right here in our studios.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Oh my God.
We'd love to.
Gosh. All right. Stay tuned, folks, because this might actually happen. And finally, Ray, dude, what's hot in your playlist right now?
Oh, my goodness. What am I listening to right now? I am trying to think. No, I always am supposed to look that up, and you told me to, right? What album? Well, there's an album, a band called Nenen from Montreal. That band. There's a bunch of bands from Montreal. Tanya Iyer from Montreal. I just went so good.
Oh, yes.
The new album.
Yeah.
Lori Torres, who produced my album with me, actually go Lori Torres on Instagram. She has an experimental piano album that's amazing. And that's, yeah, just there's just so many close people around me that I'm loving their music. So
thanks so much. And how can people follow you and keep up with the latest?
Yeah. On my Instagram, I have a new website, rayspoon.ca, and we're supposed to have an email list starting, so join that, and hopefully I'll get that together. But yeah, I'm just kind of mostly Instagram, I guess.
Fantastic. Anything else to add before we close off?
No, I think that's all. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. But also, give us another song recommendation from your back catalog that people need to listen to right now, other than we will be playing right up in just a couple of minutes your new Garth Brooks cover. What else should we listen to from you?
Did you play Do Whatever the Heck You Want? That one works good.
That's on the docket. All right.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much, Ray, for joining us here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We really do appreciate your time and have an amazing summer.
Thank you. You too.
Blamed it on the roots, showed up in boots, knew your black tie affair. The last one to know, the last one to show, was the last one you thought you'd see there. I saw a surprise, beat in his eyes, as I took his glass of champagne. I toasted you, said, honey, we may be through, you'll never. Places where the whiskey drowns and the beer chases my blues away. And I'll be okay. Oh, I'm not big on social graces. Think I'll step on down to the oasis. So I've got friends, low places. Just say goodnight and I'll show myself to the door. Yeah, I didn't mean to cause a big scene. Just give me an hour and then I'll be as high as that ivory tower you live in. Cause I got friends in places where the whiskey drives.
Should I if someone else is telling someone what the heck to do. Hurting other people is not part of the deal. Just say.
Heard Ray Spoon's brand new cover of Garth Brooks's Friends in Low Places, followed by do whatever the heck you want, their recommendation, and also a personal favorite of mine from Ray's back catalog. That song was called Ocean Blue from their album I Can't Keep All of Our Secrets. Coming up now, I want to play a little bit of Lavender Country as well. From their debut album from way back in 1973, we've got Watsing Will Trilogy. Right now here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
A raw manhood, the state hospital's just the place to get one. Now they call him up, we're sickie. They herd him to group therapy. They lock him up at night so he don't escape. And if they hear any gay talk, a sizzle of electroshock keeps his fantasies in fascist shape. They call it mental hygiene, but I call it psychic rape. And he won't get no restitution. He'll be dealing with the fact that all the mental institutions are backed by a pack of straight white honking quacks. Were lovers to the nth degree. They had their thing together pretty good. But Tom was only 17 when his folks found out what was happening. Mama cried and Pa demanded blood. Then the news began to fester that Jim was a child molester. What jury is going to stand for that?
He's crying from an ass.
going to close off our special episode with a song by Kieran Labbe, local artist, with a song called Little Bird Spring of Time. I think it was produced way back in 2020, 2021. Anyway, get to Musiki this weekend, July 5th, to go see Ray Spoon with Jeffrey and Kieran Labbe starting at 8 o'clock. It's free and or by donation. Thanks for tuning into this special episode and our conversation with Ray Spoon today. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and the lovely music we've presented to you as well. See you at Musiki on July 5th. Have a great day.
Open, come calling. My heart is heavy. I watch you fly. Oh.